This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. It's easy to grumble about airline travel these days. The cramped seats, the stingy food service, and flight delays that happen way too often. It wasn't always this frustrating. Travel by plane used to be the height of glamour and global chic. That was especially true if you were flying internationally.
Who ever heard of an airline that goes around the world twice a day, every day?
The U.S. airline that flew the farthest and was considered the finest? Pan American.
Who ever heard of an airline with 87 first-class entrees?
They said a Pan Am flight was like a cocktail party with wings. The flight crews fussed over your comfort. There were elegant menus featuring fine wines and gourmet meals.
And all of this was cooked on the airplane. Caviar.
No. Yeah. Wait, you had to cook this all?
Yes.
So oxtail soup, braised sirloin of beef, roast duckling.
Yes, and we cooked it to your perfection.
Take it from someone who was on thousands of those flights.
I'm Sheila Nutt, and I'm a former stewardess with Pan American World Airways.
Yep, that was the term, stewardess. 50 years have passed since Sheila Nutt helped make history. She was part of the first wave of African-American women hired as stewardesses. We met her at her home in Newton to ask her about that time a half century ago. Back then, flight crews were mainly white, and so were the passengers. After the Civil Rights Act of 1964, airlines had to start hiring people of color. In 1969, Sheila Nutt was 20 years old and living in Philadelphia. She heard Pan Am was hiring, and she wanted in.
And so when I went for my interview at a major hotel in Philadelphia and I walked into the room, all of these beautiful blonde, blue-eyed women were sitting there.
Nutt and her friend were the only black women in the room. But racism wasn't immediately apparent. Sexism was.
Part of the interview was, let me see you walk across the room. Did you walk like a duck or did you walk like a beauty queen? Your teeth had to be straight. You couldn't wear eyeglasses.
You also had to be slim and stay slim if you got the job. Supervisors checked to make sure stewardesses wore girdles.
On occasion, there would be random weight checks. And if you were 1 pound overweight, you did not get on the airplane.
And you could only get on once you had shed those pounds. Sheila Nutt had the look Pan Am wanted. She'd competed in beauty pageants, and she was a lighter-skinned black woman.
I believe that back in the 60s, they were looking for women of color who were not that different from what was considered the norm of beauty.
How do you mean that?
I mean color.
Do you mean not too dark?
Oh, yeah. In the African-American community, there was a certain time where they had a brown bag test. There were organizations that would not allow people of color who were darker than a brown bag.
You're talking about organizations among African-Americans?
Yeah. Sororities, fraternities, social clubs.
Sheila Nutt was the only black member of the flight crew on most trips. She says she rarely faced harassment from passengers.
You did have your anomaly, you know, somebody would get drunk and then they would say things that were inappropriate and you knew that they were drunk. But most people who had issues around class or color, they were able to restrain themselves on the airplane. Why? Because usually we were in control.
She remembers one particular flight to Johannesburg, South Africa. The South African government still enforced apartheid, the laws of racial separation. Officials told Pan Am that Nutt and the other black members of the flight crew would have to spend their layover at the Holiday Inn at the airport. The white crew would stay at a 5-star hotel downtown. The Pan Am pilots and crew strongly objected, and everyone stayed first class. Nutt says in time, her race attracted less attention.
As we began to travel the world, we were known as Americans. Nobody called us black Americans. We were known by the passport we carried.
Did you ever feel like this was tokenism? Did you ever feel like you were there simply because the law said you had to be there? And did that matter?
I knew I was there because of the law, and it didn't matter.
What mattered to her is that Pan Am paid for her education. She earned her doctorate at Boston University. She started her own business called Flight Attendant Network, and now she works in higher education. Nutt has organized a group of women, African-American flight attendants, who call themselves Blackbirds. They include the pioneers from 50 years ago. And she's compiling a book of their stories of being in the vanguard of racial integration of the airlines.
We were hired in an industry by a company who didn't necessarily want us. But we wanted them. We wanted what they had to offer. So we made sure that we were prepared to enter that profession and then to take advantage of what the profession had to offer.
Give me one lesson that you would teach a young person based on your own experience.
We think it's really important for young women to know that although you may not be represented completely in an organization or a profession, that doesn't mean that you don't belong there. We want to teach young people of all persuasions, of all colors, that the world is open to you, not just your local community. You have an obligation to contribute meaningfully to the world.
If you'd like to see photos of some of Sheila Nutt's Pan Am memorabilia, go to WBUR.org and check out the blue uniform, a designer suit by Edith Head, the Italian designer hat, too.